science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to finish the look we've been having at the idea of identity lag. Now, if you remember, the concept of identity lag is it's basically the gap between who you've been and who your actions are starting to require you to become. So you do the work, you build something meaningful, but internally you're still catching up, and that makes you feel like you're a bit of a fraud, or you're not, or it's not working, or whatever, and therefore you end up falling back into your old self rather than the self that you want to become. So there's a moment within all that that doesn't get talked about very often. It sits somewhere between finishing something and actually putting it out into the world. It's quiet, uncomfortable, but it's also surprisingly powerful. And for me, that moment nearly stopped U 2.0 from ever being published. Not because I didn't believe in the ideas, but because of external factors in some respects, but also an internal battle that was within me. I wasn't sure I believed in myself in relation to the ideas in the book. And this identity lag, it nearly stopped me from publishing U 2.0. Because I had that kind of pressure that said, I'm doing these exercises, this is the lessons that I've learned, but I'm not moving fast enough. Now, there was a reason for that. It wasn't just the gap, the identity lag between who I was and who I wanted to be. There's also the functioning neurological disorder that I have that was causing a lot of the issues. So let's have a look at that in more detail then. I finished the first full draft of U 2.0. And it had taken me a long time to draft it, especially when you consider that kind of 70% of it was actually updated ideas and sections from previous works and other bits that I'd done. It seemed to take me forever to actually write the book. But when I finished it, that first draft, I expected to feel relief and momentum, maybe even a bit of pride, but what I actually felt was hesitation. Because finishing the book, actually, as it happens, wasn't the hard part. Publishing it was. It stood on my published shelf for months. Almost, I guess, nearly 9 months between me finishing the draft and actually publishing it. And I kept putting it off and I kept going back and tinkering with it. And the reason for that was publishing meant stepping into something more visible. It actually meant saying, this is what I think, this is what I believe, this is what I stand behind. And up to that point, I've been kind of, updating talks, and I'd been writing the blogs, and I'd launched ThinkWorks. But a lot of that was more about just providing information and service, ideas and concepts and hacks and strategies that I could do really piecemeal. But the book was everything. It was a manifesto. It was everything that I believe in. And suddenly it meant it was out there. And if I published it, it would mean that those were the lessons that I had to live by every single day. And that's where the resistance showed up. Not loudly, but persistently. So I kept having thoughts like, is this ready? Or am I the right person to say this? Or what if this isn't as good as I think it is? All those thoughts were running around my head, and none of those thoughts were new, but they felt heavier somehow now because the stakes felt different. I think this is where a lot of people get stuck, not at the start, not in the middle, but right at the point where something becomes real. When the idea becomes visible, the work becomes public, the identity has to shift. Because up to that point, you can stay in the safety of, I'm working on it, I'm refining it, I'm getting it ready. But eventually there's that moment where you have to decide, do I step forward or do I stay where I am? Now, what I realized slowly too slowly in many respects, was this. The hesitation wasn't a sign that something was wrong. It was a sign that something was changing. My actions had already moved ahead. It was just that my identity, as we've discussed, it hadn't caught up yet. So instead of recognizing that, I was interpreting all these different feelings and emotions and those doubts that had sprung from the FND. You know, it's like, I'm going to launch the book. Will I have the energy to sustain it? Will I have the energy to actually continue the work that I want the book to be the basis of, the foundation of? So all that was in the way. And therefore, I just interpreted it all as doubt. That was the problem. I didn't recognize that there was this lag between the identity that I had and the identity that I wanted to have. And the shift that followed, well, it kind of wasn't dramatic in many ways. It wasn't a sudden burst of confidence. It was just one morning, I just woke up and I just thought, and I realized and I understood that I didn't need to feel ready to move forward. I'm a big believer in progress over perfection. And I did an episode of the podcast and I updated a blog on making progress and using journals and all that kind of stuff. And it made me realize that I had something that was excellent. It didn't need to be perfect. Making it perfect was an excuse to put it off publishing. And the fact that I realized that this discomfort was coming from that made me realize that the discomfort itself wasn't something to eliminate, it was something that I should have expected. And once I saw it that way, it lost some of its power. I guess what I'm trying to say to people that are listening to this is, if you're working on something right now, whether it's a project, a change, a decision you've been circling, a book you've been writing, or a talk that you're trying to pull together, and you're feeling that hesitation, it might not be because you're not ready. It might be because you're changing faster than your actual identity is. And that's what's creating the friction and the doubt and the kind of hesitation dance that we all then engage in, because we're kind of moving to that new person, but the old person is saying, but I'm comfortable here. So well, that is tied into it. So the instinct at that point is to slow down. It's to wait, to try and resolve the feeling before acting. And in most cases, the only way the identity catches up is after you take the step. I guess publishing U 2.0 didn't remove any of those feelings completely. It just showed me what they were. And that's often enough, because once you understand what's happening, you don't have to fight it. You just have to keep moving. And all this was exaggerated by the FND, because the FND had already, for 8.5, nearly 9 years, had seen me having false starts and then hitting a brick wall and falling back, and then having to, and then feeling okay and starting again and then hitting that brick wall and falling back. And I'd forgotten that in many ways, when I started this next phase, once I'd understood what the FND was after the diagnosis and learned about it and learned some mitigation and management techniques, once I'd forgotten, I'd put all those in place. So I wasn't actually going at something at a mad pace anymore that I had to sustain. I was designing things that could work around my condition, and I'd forgotten that in this identity lag problem that had arisen. So I'm just as susceptible and guilty and as prone to human failures and frailties as anyone else, trust me. But I did realise, thankfully, and I've published the book. And not only that, I've finished the first draft of my second book. And I finished, and that first draft has taken me 4 weeks. And it's, you know, that's the draft. It took me about 4 weeks before that for the research. So 2 months to get a first draft pulled together. It took me about 2 years to do U 2.0. I'm going at pace, and I'm doing the edits next week now on Conspiracy, which is my next book, Waking Up to the Matrix of Modern Life. I have tweaked the title somewhat, so keep watching out for little teasers and promos on that, because it's not a book about conspiracies per se. there are mentions of some of the conspiracy theories that are very popular out there in the middle section of the book. But it's really about the psychology of conspiracies and why the human psyche needs them in many ways as something to hold on to when everything is changing around us, or when something doesn't seem explainable in terms of the human rationale. So when something really terrible has happened, like 9/11, we can't believe that people would do that, and therefore we create these elaborate conspiracy webs and stuff like that. So we talk about all that in the book, and then we have some practical workbook style analysis of conspiracy theories at the end of the book. I'm really the direction the book took away from where it originally started from was something I wasn't expecting, but it's amazing, and I'm really pleased. I'm actually happier with this one than I was with U 2.0. I've done it faster, and I think actually a lot of the work that I'll be doing in terms of consultation going forward next year will be more around the second book rather than the first. The first one is the tips and strategies, and there'll be workshops and masterminds and training courses on that, you know, have no doubt. But I think the juice is going to come from the second book. It's just something I'm really excited about. So anyway, I digress. So what I'm trying to get through to you is, if any of this resonates about the identity lag, about this gap between who you were and who you want to be, and you're stuck somewhere in the middle, it's something I do explore in U2.0 and increasingly in the work I'm doing with people and teens. But for now, just notice that this might be showing up for you. So when you are in that middle of that new thing that you're trying to do, and you're suddenly starting to have those doubts creeping about whether you're capable of doing it, or is it something you should be doing even, that question, that doubt, it might not be because you can't do it, or you doubt that you can do it, it's because your identity is still lagging behind where you're going. You're moving at the speed of light, and to use a Star Trek analogy, your identity is moving at impulse speed. So you're edging forward. Part of you is the identity, even though your character, your exercise, your actual focus is really racing ahead, and that gap is what you need to identify and then understand it, and then therefore you can keep moving forward while your identity starts to creep up and catch up. Yeah, so I hope I've got that through. So in a nutshell, what I'm trying to say is the thing that's holding you back, or the thing that you feel is holding you back, is actually a sign that you're moving forward, and that's the pivot that I want you to make in your head. As always, there is a post in our forum, our community group, which is, if you go to darreninform.com, ThinkWorks forum, you'll find that there's a ThinkWorks recent group. You go into that and there's a post that will be pinned for the week for this particular episode. So come and join me, make comments, ask questions, engage in a dialogue if you wish, and just ask me to, you know, just tell me the problem that you're facing in terms of any hesitations that you've got about something you're working on, and I'll help you try and identify why you're having that. I'm not a psychologist, I just understand human identity, which is why I've come up with this concept of identity lag. Now, I'll be back next week. I don't know what I'm going to be doing yet, because until I sit down and go through my plans and my ideas and my sketchbook and my journal, I don't often plan until a few days before I come and do these talks here into the microphone. Whatever it is, hopefully it'll be of interest to you. In the meantime, above, and I keep saying this all the time, please keep asking questions. It's important that you do, because it's only through asking questions that we learn to understand what's happening, we learn new concepts, and we learn new ways of doing things. But also by asking questions, we can start to hold people to account for actions and decisions that they are taking and making that may not have the rest of our interests at heart. So take care, everyone. I'll see you soon.
If you would like to find out more, or to join in the conversation, each episode of ThinkWorks has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/community and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching at DarrenInform for news, tips, and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.